My friends in Jesus, grace and mercy and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior. The words that have been our school theme for the past year from Ephesians chapter 5, especially the first verse, but I'll read the first two verses at this time. Paul writes, "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us, and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." This is God's word. Please be seated. A good mimic is absolutely hilarious. Tina Fey was so good at imitating Sarah Palin that it is sometimes hard to tell the two of them apart. Can you tell them apart? And when Tina Fey said, imitating Sarah Palin, when she said, "I can see Russia from my house," it became widely believed that it was Sarah Palin who had said those words, when in fact it was not. But that's how good Tina Fey was at mimicking Sarah Palin. It was just a riot to watch her. I have seen, you probably have too, I've seen more than a few high school graduations where student speakers would launch into an imitation of one of the teachers on the faculty. You know, they got the voice and the quirks and the mannerisms and the catchphrases, and the whole graduating class is just roaring with laughter. You might even see some of that at today's graduation ceremonies. But imitation isn't just monkey business. There's a very serious side to imitation as well. It's how babies learn to talk as they hear their parents and mimic the sounds. It's how students learn to work math problems. The teacher does it and then the student does likewise. It's how children learn how to love by receiving love from all of us. Sadly, it's also how children learn their vices, like excessive drinking or swearing or violence. It's why toy tools and kitchens and dolls that allow children to imitate and to mimic their parents are always a staple in the toy store. It is through imitation that little people become big people, grown-up people. You be big. You be an imitator of God as dearly loved children. As a child of God, there is nothing better you can do with your life than to imitate your God, because when you do so, you're growing up in your faith and in your love to be a big Christian, a grown-up Christian. And so that's our theme for this last year: big, be imitators of God. And we have been encouraging our students in as many ways as we can think to become big, or at least bigger, in their life of faith as they imitate their God and Savior. Paul wrote these words right on the heels of some very practical advice to the Ephesian Christians. At the end of chapter 4, Paul says things like this. He says, "Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Stop stealing if you've been stealing, and do something useful with your hands. Stop with all of that unwholesome language you've been using, and use your words to build others up. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit by your sins. Get rid of bitterness and rage and brawling and slander." And then at the very end of chapter 4, Paul says this: "Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you." And it must have been those inspired words, "just as in Christ God forgave you," that triggered the next inspired thought in Paul's mind: be imitators of God. I wish I could report to you today that in this past school year, these past 9 months at St. John Lutheran School and St. John Lutheran Church, for that matter, I wish I could report to you that we have witnessed no displays of anger, that there has been no stealing, no inappropriate language, that the Holy Spirit was never grieved by the things that were done and said, that there was never any bitterness or rage or brawling or slander. I wish I could report that to you. But of course I can't. Nobody can. The fact that I can't report that to you today is not just an indictment of our students and our graduates today, or folks, we all have some growing up to do when it comes to being imitators of our God. But at least we know where to turn for mercy, right? When we have failed to imitate God. Because if there's any one message that we labor hard to get across to our students and to our congregation, it is the message in verse 2. Again, where Paul says, "Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." Time and time again, we try to get this point across, that imitating God's love is not the way we try to get on God's good side, try to win his favor, or try to save ourselves. The wonder of God's grace and love is that salvation has already been done. It is already accomplished by the sacrificial death of Christ on the cross and by his mighty resurrection. From that cross, he said, "It is finished." Which part of that don't you get? It is finished. You have been redeemed by the Savior. The anger, the stealing, the bitterness, the brawling, the grieving of the Holy Spirit who has sealed us for salvation, it's all been washed away in the blood of Jesus' sacrifice. The imitation of that amazing love is not an attempt to save ourselves. It's the way we show our neighbor that Christ has already redeemed us. It's the way we walk in love, by imitating our Lord. What does it say? Imitation is the sincerest form of flattery, right? Well, the imitation of Christ is the sincerest form of worship and honor that you can give to your Savior. But for our graduates today, and for all of us as we go out in the world, it's a tough place to live that kind of a life, to be imitators of God. The next verses in Ephesians chapter 5 read like a Google search of, you know, what are high school kids into? And it's not just high school kids. Be ready for this. The search results, well, as they come from Paul anyway, in Ephesians chapter 5, he outlines what people are into by their very nature: sexual immorality, impurity, greed, obscene talk, foolish talk, crude joking, drunkenness. It's all there in Ephesians chapter 5. And that's just the beginning of what we see in this world. And for the rest of our lives, we're going to have to be dealing with this. But over and over, Paul keeps saying to us as imitators of God, we have got to steer clear of these things. Here's what he says in verses 7 and 8. He says, "Therefore, do not associate with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." But how do you do that? How do you imitate God when the whole world is pressing you hard? That if you want to belong and if you want to fit in with this world, you have got to imitate them out there. Would it help you to think maybe of this little quote from a man named Marty Rubin? He said, "Parrots mimic their owners, and owners consider that a sign of intelligence." But of course, it's not really intelligence at all, is it? There's a story of a couple whose pastor was coming to visit, and so they warned their pet parrot, who often imitated their swearing — that's what he learned from his owners — he warned them when the pastor came to keep his beak shut. And he told the parrot that if the parrot did any swearing, they were going to put him in the freezer until the pastor left. The parrot assured them that he would not embarrass them by swearing when the pastor was visiting. Well, just about as soon as the pastor arrived, the parrot just could not help himself. This is what he had learned from his owners, and he let fly with a string of foul language and expletives until the red-faced lady of the house, all embarrassed, grabbed him out of his cage and tossed him into the freezer, right next to the frozen turkey that she put there for Thanksgiving dinner. The pastor stayed a little longer than expected, but when he finally left... they quick retrieved the parrot from the freezer, and they said to him, "I hope you learned your lesson." And the shivering parrot said, "Yes, but I have one question. What did the turkey say?" Look, parrots aren't smart just because they can mimic and imitate. They just blindly, stupidly mimic whoever they happen to be with without any thought of that how that imitation is going to get them into trouble. Are you going to go through life like a senseless parrot, just blindly imitating all the people out there? Despite the fact that your Savior has warned you. Well, what does he say in verse 6? Here is his warning. "Let no one deceive you with these empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore do not associate with them." So show some originality, will you? Be different. Paul wrote these words, "Jesus Christ gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a peculiar people, eager to do what is good." And peculiar in this verse does not mean odd or strange. It means that you are unique because you imitate God and his goodness. Be an imitator of God and you will be a standout in this world. And you will be his witnesses. And in walking in love for God and your neighbor, you will never be put to shame or end up in the cosmic deep freeze of eternal separation from God. Be big. Be an imitator of God as his dearly loved children. But your imitation of God is only going to get better and bigger as you get to know him better. Once in a while you hear about a child who is separated from humanity, right? And they're raised out of the jungle by the apes and they turn out behaving like the apes because that's what they grew up with. That's what they imitate. If you separate yourself from God and from his family, then how are you going to learn to imitate God? How are you going to grow up and be a bigger Christian than you are today? So that means you got to stay close. Stay close to your Father in your worship and in your prayers and in your devotions. Because that's how you learn to imitate, like any child learns to imitate their parents. It's how you're going to learn how to talk and season your speech with grace. It's how you're going to learn how to prioritize things in God's way. It's how you're going to learn how to treat other people, how to love them, and how to serve them as God has served you. And the Lord who died and rose for you will be glorified in your life and in your words and conduct. So, you leave church today, you're back out into the world, off you go to your families, to your work, to your recreation, whatever it is. Make us proud out there. Put a smile on the face of your Heavenly Father. He smiled upon you when he lavished you with his love in Christ Jesus. Imitate him. Be big. In Jesus' name. Amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ to life everlasting. Amen.